if you're in Liverpool and you need to know anything, ask a taxi driver. They are just the eyes and ears of this city. They know everything about nothing and nothing about everything. And especially with it being European city of culture, they're going to be the first line of scouseness that people from Europe are going to get, picking them up from the airport. So let's get in a taxi and see if we can prove it. Taxi! Right, mate. Right, get in.
I'm John, I've been a taxi driver 28 years. Not in Liverpool yet.
What do you think of the stereotype though, which is in a quite kind of a positive stereotype, that all scousers are comedians? Do you go along with that?
I don't know really. I don't like the image of the cheeky scouser. I like to think we're the same as anyone, with a sense of humour.
I was actually saying, John, that I think that it's not that we're comedians, it's just that we are predominantly witty.
We look for the funny side of everything.
Yeah, and it's that
if there's a major event in the news, I get a text message within an hour. Sometimes they're a bit distasteful, they're not funny, supposedly, but you can see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
When Morris Gibb died, within 5 minutes I got a message saying that HMV are having a sale, there's a third off all Bee Gees albums.
Yeah.
I'm sure Boris Gibb's family didn't find it funny, but I had to stop the cab because I was laughing my head off. We're never going to shake it off. If you're a scouser, you're a robber. That's the way the rest of the world see it. If you're Jewish, you're tight. If you're Irish, you're stupid. Irish people and Jewish people feel the same, I'm sure. But that's the way it is. You're never going to shake it off. Essex Girls, it's another story, isn't it?
My name's Brendan Riley, and sometimes I'm a comedian. I think the big thing that we probably don't like in Liverpool is being called thieves. I actually think it genuinely comes from the history of the docks, because Liverpool's been such a big port in the last 150, 200 years. Stuff gets robbed from any dock. It goes over the dock wall and stuff. And with Liverpool being probably quite a poor place, then stuff did have to go missing. If you didn't steal, you go hungry, you know. I play on it in my act. One of my opening gambits is, as soon as anyone hears my accent, which is, I know it's not a strong Scouse accent, mum and dad are from Liverpool, but I'll soon play on it, because that's what they'll be thinking, is, did I lock the car? Did I lock the car? Beep, beep, did it go? Beep, 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 beep. And I use that on stage, and they laugh, and I can laugh at that. We like taking the mickey out of ourselves, but we don't like anyone else taking the mickey out of us. And that's a protective thing, I think. We're very proud people of Liverpool, and we don't want people to run it down all the time. We get a bit fed up with it, to be honest. It gets a bit boring.
Do you remember the last derby game?
Oh, aye. Well,
remember the one that you pinched? Because you had the referee on your side.
That's right, yeah. We gave you a head start.
That's right, you gave
goals.
Give us a head start.
Wasn't it that the referee got man of the match?
Oh, without a doubt. We only had 9 left at the end or something. They had about 14 on their side.
Played the blind, didn't they? Yeah.
As everyone knows, football is just totally ingrained in the life, in the culture. And, of course, with football comes the banter, comes the mickey-taking, comes the humour. So I thought what I'd do is we could speak to Dave Randalls, who's a journalist who writes on LFC magazine, who's a staunch red as well, so I'll try not to kill him. Me being a blue, it could be problems. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Brem. We found ourselves this afternoon stood in the middle of Stanley Park, which separates both Goodison and Anfield. This is where the Great Mersey Divide begins, really. Just behind me I can see Anfield, and just beyond the trees to the other side of the park is Goodison, where Everton play. Behind us, just adjacent to where the current Anfield is where the new Anfield will be built, hopefully opened in about 2012. About 5 miles away to my right will be Everton's new stadium. We can't actually see it today. I say Everton's new stadium, it's actually going to be a new Tesco store with a football stadium attached to it, so we're told.
Low blow, mate, low blow. That's where the banter really, really kicks off, because there's all this talk of grounds and where they're going to be. And because of Liverpool's recent success, you do get a lot of stick where people are saying, well, at least our fans are Liverpudlians, are Scousers, and yours are getting flown in, and it's not good for the carbon footprints of Liverpool doing well and stuff like that. As you've seen on TV, the banners are a big part of the football match, especially when teams go to Europe and stuff.
We've seen payback time, really, from Everton fans. They have gained revenge with some of the banners. One of them I've seen recently says, is it just a direct hit at Liverpool, sort of the club ownership and the fan base? It says, owned by Americans, managed by a Spaniard, and watched by Norwegians. prior to that, as I say, Liverpool fans, I think, have been winding up Evertonians over the last few years because of their travels in Europe. And one famous banner from that great night in Istanbul when Liverpool went on to win the Champions League final, of course. It simply said, for those of you watching in blue and white, this is what five European Cups looks like.
Dave and I are very similar, where we've got family background. He's a Red from his background, and me personally, my mum, she had a birthday party just recently, and my sister went round the house to decorate it for a surprise for her, and before anyone arrived, she got a stepladder out. She's a 75-year-old woman. She got a stepladder out and burst all the red balloons before we arrived.
Yeah, I mean, as a child, when I would go and visit my nan, she's 93 now and she's still the same, and we weren't allowed to wear blue when we went into my nan and granddad's house. And just to the right of us here, we're just stood outside Anfield Crematorium, which is next to Stanley Park. And I remember when we cremated my granddad a few years ago now, and the funeral parade came up past Goodison Park, and obviously we're concerned about my nan, and, you know, she's just lost her husband. And first thing she said when she gets out of the hearse was my granddad will be turning in his coffin, because the driver had the audacity to take him past Goodison Park, you know. So even on a day like that, probably one of the saddest days of her life, you know, the humour was still there, and it was born of the rivalry between the two clubs.
I think Liverpool and Scouse humour is brutally honest, if anything. And you'll get this in other hard cities. Belfast has a great wit. Glasgow, same kind of thing. They'll be at you. They'll always be... People use humour to get on with life and to just put a smile on your face and survive, really. And I've always thought, especially my name's Brendan Joseph Michael Riley, so I've got a strong Spanish background, but it's Irish. Everything you look at, if you pull it apart, we're witty, we've got a sense of fun, we like telling anecdotes and stories, you know. And add to that, you've got predominantly big families as well. I know for myself, I've got three brothers and two sisters, and I know that's why I became a comedian, because when I was a kid, I was second to youngest. You need a voice. So you do project yourself more, you do exaggerate things, you do try and be the star of the show in the living room. You're going to be loud, you're going to be gobby, you're going to want to say something, you want the last word. That, as well as the Irish wit, it all goes together to make what is, in essence, Scouse humour. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on stage the wonderful Matt Price.
Hi, all right, I'm Matt. And I am fully aware that I do look like a cross between Peter Crouch and Postman Pat. You don't have to tell me. You know. Being a tall person, strangers come up to you in the street, people you don't know, people you don't want to know. They all come up to you and start asking you questions. The most obvious of which is, how tall are you, mate? How tall are you? And so now I just politely turn around and say, I'm 6'5". So how much do you weigh, fatty? They don't like it when you ask them back. They really don't. Thank you. Thank you.
Well done, Matt, what can I say? Excellent. Well done.
Yeah, that was 6 minutes, that, so...
Was it?
Yeah.
Good. You've just done really well, and you worked on all the stuff. I started on a comedy workshop. I was asked to come along to tutor some courses last year for the Comedy Trust, who run the Liverpool Comedy Festival. They do children's classes called Standout, and it's to improve confidence more than to make them into comedians. But the course I run is an adult comedy course, which is 6 weeks, and in that 6 weeks, hopefully we'll get you up to do about 5 minutes material at the end of it and perform. One of the big ingredients to Liverpool humour, I think, is of course wit, the witty remark, the comeback. And you'll see this in the street, you'll see it in garages, you'll see it everywhere. I think it was Freud that said that wit is anger turned sideways. And I think that sums it up, you know. It's like, you go back to the 80s when I left school, it was a pretty bad place, Liverpool, to be at, you know, and it's come on leaps and bounds now. It's a totally different environment. But certainly, you know, when I left school, that's where I learned, probably my comedy career started. You had to be smart or you just get killed. Another thing about different styles of humour around, say even if you just go look at the north of England, Geordies seem to be very laddie in their style or their approach to comedy. And Manchester, it always seems to be more mother, maternal. It's like Peter Kay talking about his mum all the time and living with his gran. But Liverpool humour just strikes me to be survival. So folks, what we're going to do now is do the run-throughs and stuff. We want to try and keep it going as best you can.
Okay, I'm Tony Simpson, I'm from Liverpool. I'm here today due to the fact that I did the comedy course in February. So I've been asked to come back and talk to the students to tell them what they could be preparing for on their first proper performance. I think what you get with Liverpool, I think whether it's somebody who's got a major degree or whether it's somebody that flunked school or whatever it may be, they do have this acid sharp wit. No matter what level of intellect you're talking about, if it comes to kind of that acid sharp witness. What's interesting, I think they'll laugh at themselves if it's set up the right way. There is reference to certainly girls in pyjamas. You know, you only have to jump in your car and just go for a drive. And, you know, it's one of those things. I do it with the safety of my window rolled up, scream at them, go home and get dressed. You just can't help it because the effort that they go into, because obviously the hair, the makeup and everything will be perfect. But they're in pyjamas. Don't do it. No, no, no. Go home, get dressed. Capital of culture, it's just wrong. I think you'd be hard pushed to go three blocks of any kind of major main road through Liverpool and not find the sunbed shop. I think probably our ratio for sunbed shops to people is probably 5 to 1. I think that's probably what threw them on the capital of culture. I think everyone came in, they look so healthy. The sun's obviously always shining in Liverpool.
I think a typical Liverpool joke, it always revolves around Mickey taking. I think this is one of the main factors. It's like a friend of mine, Steve Gribben, he's a Liverpool lad and stuff, and he had a great, great gag. It was a few years ago, I remember him doing it in a club. And he said about this guy in a bar who was kind of pretending to be cool, and he was saying he worked on the oil rigs. And she said, oh, what do you do? What's your job? And he was trying to be cool, and he said something like, well, actually, I work in oil and steel. And she said, what are you? A sardine.
My name's Stephanie Davis, and I am the director of Laughology, which is a company that looks at laughter and humour and how it enhances people's everyday life. Working as a comedian as well, because that's what I do, and I travel all over the world and all over the UK doing stand-up comedy. And you know you're in Liverpool because the audience joins in and try and be, and generally are, funnier than the comedian on stage, you know? And that's when you know you're in Liverpool, because a heckle is a good heckle. There was a comedian on stage, she wasn't doing very well, and someone shouted, get off. And the comedian said, oh, that's not really very fair. Give me something topical I can work with. And someone shouted, get off now. And you have to hand it to the heckler. I think that Liverpool people have got a very good sense of humour about the capital of culture. And the things that have been done in the city with the capital of culture, there's quite a lot of people saying, you know, it's got to be about the people. And it has got to be about the people, because you can change buildings and you can remake roads and you can dig everywhere up and put pretty trees in the place.
And brand everything.
And brand everything as 08. But the most important thing is the people of this city.
I think there was a Moray poll done in 2004, and they were asking particular cities around the country which was the second city in the UK. And I think they went to Birmingham first, because, of course, it's supposed to be the second capital. And they asked the Brummies, and the Brummies said, of course it's us, it's on paper. It's genuinely, of course it's us. It's Birmingham is the second city. And then they went to Manchester, and, of course, the Mancunians, good on them, defended themselves. And they said, well, you know, it might be on paper, but certainly trends and restaurants and music. It's Manchester is the second city in the country. So eventually they got to Liverpool, and they asked all the Scousers, what's the second city in England? And I think the Scousers said, well, it's London, isn't it? And I genuinely think that just sums up Scousers for you.